You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Yud Zayin. We're holding it to two dots, and those two dots are a little bit smack bang in the middle of the sugya, so they're sort of a colon for a semicolon. And actually, we have a machlokas we had yesterday between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Question is how to understand Ki Archiv Hashem Elokecha Tvucha. So, Aliba to Rabbi Yishmael, that is Va'amarta Va'ochla Basar, that is coming, tell me, go right ahead, please. Enjoy, est mein Kind. So you're allowed to eat basar ta'ava. In the midbar, you had to bring everything to Petach HaOmoed. Once you're away from the Petach HaOmoed, then it's quite all right to eat your own stuff. Rabbi Akiva says, Ki yirchak mincha v'zavachta. So Rabbi Akiva says that would be a isser, actually, of eating something that wasn't shechted, and therefore you now need to shecht. Now the truth is that there doesn't necessarily, on the surface, have to be an argument. They're referring to two completely different issues, right? One is referring to v'yomar tochla basar, the other one is referring to v'zavachta, that there's a chiyev of zivicha. The other one is that there's a heder of achilas basar taiva. I mean, why aren't those two completely separate issues? We made it into a machloket, as if there's some machloket there. Why would there need to be a machloket? Tosfos says this kashya. The Gemara is assuming that we're arguing. This is because, according to Rabbi Akiva, if Bosar Taiva would have been Osir, the way Rabbi Yishmael was learning, so then where in the world was there Bosar Nechira? Because we're going to see that by Kutchin, Bosar Nechira was actually Osir, always. Right now we don't know that, but in the end the Gemara is going to come out. By Kutchin you always need a Shechita. The only question is whether you need Shechita for Chulin. Therefore, it must be, if he's saying that Bosar Nechira was Mutter, and it's Mutter in Vizavachta Mibekorcho Mitzonecha, so we can't say it's talking about, let's say, deer hunting, and that's where it would be Mutter, because it's specifying something that is Boker Vitzon, not deer hunting. You could hunt deer and it wouldn't be a problem. Bosar Nechira would be Mutter. Well, not really. I mean, we'll see that Nechira is a specific act. It doesn't really mean you can just kill him anyway. But it doesn't require what we call Shechita. It would require cutting through the simonim. But, yeah. Okay, so therefore the Gemara is assuming that the only way it works out is that Lamaisa they're arguing. Even though they're focusing on two completely different points in this parsha of the general approach that Torah has about what to do when you want to eat meat. So again, we're saying Aliba d'Rabbi Yishmael, the chiddush is, you feel like eating meat, you can eat it. According to Rabbi Akiva, the chiddush is, if you feel like eating meat now, you're going to have to shech that meat, something that in the midbar you only had to do if it was kodesh, as we'll see. So there's a greater level of kedusha in the regular meat. Okay, so today the Gemara wants to know what exactly was the machloket between them. So, b'mayka miflagei, Rabbi Akiva savar boser tava lo itzer klal. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're not going to focus on the heter of achila as if it hadn't changed in terms of how we're mat achila, because there never was an iser to eat boser tava, so that can't be the point. The point would only be the chiyav of shechita. Rabbi Yishmael savar, what would be the point of a chiyav of shechita? Where do we ever find that Bosar Nechira was mutter? So he holds Bosar Nechira lo ishteri klal. Now let's see whether the historical psukim would work out according to both of these. Let's take a look. Aliba d'Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, Aliba d'Rabbi Yishmael. Everything makes sense when we learn v'shachatet ben abakar lifnei Hashem. All of the dinim of kachin. We didn't know yet that according to Rabbi Akiva there was any din of shechita before. So this is rather shocking. If during the midbar we were taught how to shecht, why were we taught how to shecht? So according to Rabbi Akiva, my v'shachar, well, that's kachim. That's the description of what the kohen is supposed to do. I mean, true, v'krivu b'nei Aaron ha'kohanim, but in other words, it's part of hakrava v'korban. So there was always a requirement of shkita for kachin. And again, you'll note how important this is in terms of the initial discussion in the first daf. Where is the ikar chiddush of shkita? The ikar chiddush of shkita then in kachin. Now it's coming out. According to Rabbi Akiva, there never even was a din of shkita by chulin initially. So we never even heard about shkita if it weren't for kachin. According to Rabbi Yishmael, there was always shkita for both kachim and chulin.
Even for non-Jews?
We're not talking about non-Jews right now. We're talking only about how to understand the entire concept of shkita here. We're talking about in the opening of the Masechta. Now it turns out, as we're getting more sophisticated in our understanding, the nature of chulin is essentially basar tava, what we're calling here. Now it turns out that this question of basar tava is a historical question, which is about what Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Depending on which approach you take, obviously you're going to focus differently in terms of the dinim of shkita, whether you're going to introduce those dinim in kachim terms, or you'll introduce those dinim in chulin terms. That's the question. How to read the first Mishnah? Are we willing to insert tomei bekedesh in a Mishnah? Is there a remez to Bekedesh lo yishkot v'yipshachat, what the din would be? That was one of the approaches. That was the initial approach we had in our Mishnah.
But Ma'asat, the initial stand of Shkita was not Kachin.
No, not true.
How's that actually?
Why?
Because if you hold on to Taira, it was not.
Yeah, but it wasn't a din in Kachin. Nothing to do with Kachin. It's just you couldn't eat meat any other way, but it's a din in meat. Except that your meat had to be shared with HaKadosh Baruch. But it was always v'shachatet ben avakar referred to the Bible. It wasn't a din in the Kayin. It was a din that would have been true of Chulin, except you have to give some to God. And that's how he's looking at it. Okay, now Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, Hanya Dichtiv, according to Rabbi Shmuel held, there never was a heter of anything but Shchita. So then, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatzon uvakar yishachet lahem. That makes sense, because there was tzon uvakar that needed shchita. But according to Rabbi Akiva, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, you'll never satisfy them, no matter what you would give, they'd never be happy? But why did he mention shchita if there was no din in shchita in that time, and he wasn't talking about bringing karbanis after all? So my hatzon uvakar yishachet lahem. It should have just said yinacher lahem miboyel. Why not just say Nechira? Well, because that was how you did Shkita. That's the point. Nechira Shalem Zohi Shkita Tan. So you did not need to do what we call Shkita, but that was called Shkita. So all it meant was you would slaughter. Bishlam Rishmal, Hainu Ditznan. When it says in the Mishnah, Hashochet V'nitnabla B'yado, V'hanocher V'hama'aker, Patur Melechasot. Here we're learning the dinim of Kisui Hadam. This is a reference to a Chaya. There's no dinim of Kisui Hadam on a Behemah. So just Chaya Va'ov. Somebody shechs, and something goes wrong with the Shkita, and let's say he was Shohed, and the Shkita is Doris of the Shkita, now it's an avail. There's no dinim of Kisui Hadam. Furthermore, if he's no Cher, so in other words, he slashes across the Simonim, and he's going down from top to bottom, or me'aker, so he tears out the simanim of, let's say, a deer, that blood does not require kisui, because we compare it to the dinim of shkita, where the Torah compares the din of shvicha for kisui adam to the din of sedam u'gadosh, as we're going to see later. So if it isn't a kosher shchita, it's not considered to be a chiyav of kisui adam. But according to Rabbi Akiva, initially, when the din of kisui adam was given, that was through nechira. So why did we take off that halacha and say that if you do nechira, you're not chayav on kisui adam? What do you mean, why? Because now it doesn't mean anything. Ovi, it's once the Torah said that you cannot eat meat that way, so then it's the equivalent of nitnabla. So, if you're going to tell me that you were always allowed to have a steak just because you're hungry, so the Torah compares psulei hamukdashim and says, look, if you buy a behemoth back from Hekdash that has a mum in it, you can eat it the way you would eat a steak of venison. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, you couldn't eat a steak of venison, right? As he said, you can't eat basar tava. So I'll leave the Rabbi Shmuel. How do you understand that pasuk? Tzviva ayal gufe mi habishari. Could you eat the steak of a chaya? Of course, says Rabbi Shmuel. The same way Rabbi Akiva always understood that there was a din of shkita by kochim, you need to understand that the isser of basar ta'ava is not that you're not allowed to enjoy meat, it's that if you're going to eat meat, then that meat has to be brought to God if you can share it with Him. You can't share venison with God because there's no such carbon. Therefore, at that point, of course, you would be allowed to eat a tzviva ayal. And at that point, your issue, you have a din of shkita right then and there. Tzviva ayal, if not in etzonu vakar. So kios rachmona behemah dechayz alak rava v'chayah delochoz yalak rava lo as rachmona at all. Why, Rabbi Yirmiya? This halacha of ossering anything that wasn't shechted, how do we look at that? Is that a change in what is matir basar to be eaten? Or is that a specific halacha prohibiting basar nechira? Because it makes a tremendous difference. Suppose you had prepared a whole freezer full of steaks in the midbar, and you did this with nechira, without shkita. Now you bring it in Eretz Yisrael with your freezer. Does it magically become aser because now the Torah asers the chira? Or is a steak a steak? It's just from this point on, if you want to be matir baser, you need shkita to be matir. But this baser was already hutter. It's not that there's something wrong that remains defined as baser nechira, baser shkuta. It's the same thing. Because at that time, the nechira was the shkita. Didn't we say that before? So how do we look at it? Because when it came to Kisri Adam, you see that we had that in mind. We thought that the Torah specifically asked Basar Nechira, and therefore, in terms of Kisri Adam, if you do Nechira, you should require Kisri. That's what we were thinking. I think you should not only bring in a new breakfast, Abba, you should treat everyone to a new, really high-class phone so we can all enjoy ourselves along with you. My gosh. And then maybe we'd go for a nice new pair of talis and tefillin for everyone. It's going to be an expensive daf. An expensive daf, Abba. Okay. So that's the shayla. Can you eat it? Wait a minute. When was this asked? Amos. I mean, how good is your freezer? I mean, if we're talking about B'sheva Shekavshu, during the 7 years in which you were fighting for Eretz Yisrael, you know, I mean, Hashta Davra Tomei Yishteri Lohu. Look, you're allowed to eat basically bacon, you know. I mean, what's wrong with Basar Nechira? So, Dechivu Vatim Meleim Kol Tuv. The Torah says, listen, you're going to come into this land, you're going to be able to eat houses full of all kinds of the best stuff. You're going to invade, and there you're going to find freezerfuls of great stuff. V'yomer b'yomer barav amarav, what's great stuff? Sides of bacon. Katli the chaziri. You'll never get a chance to eat that again. So Mamela, I mean, what are we asking, Basar Nechira? Basar Nechira is small potatoes. We're talking about really hot stuff, you know? So, what's the big deal about Basar Nechira, me boy? We're talking about really good freezers. After the 7 years of the kibush, can you then eat your Basar Nechira? That's the question. The Ibaitem, oh, you know what? Maybe the sides of bacon they're only kosher because they belong to the goyim. So we're talking, that's ki ishtru shalal shalavdei kochavim. They do lo ishtru. Where do we see that the Torah was matir isurim? It's not a general heter of isurim. It's a halacha that those things that are part of the war, which you capture in the shalal, so you're allowed to utilize. Take it. Okay? I don't know. I don't know what the din is. But whenever it is, but it's after 7 years, during 7 years, is it a din in the nefira, or is it a din in the initial heter? That question stands, a very good question. Omar Rava. And Rava says, you know, you have an approach. We had three things that were very troublesome because they were all repetitious. Halkor shoftin, lo'olam shoftin, bakol shoftin. Okay? You've explained hakol shoftin, and you explained it to mean all things require shchita. You explained lo'olam shoftin. Again, the items that require shchita now require shchita. Okay, I challenge you to explain Bakol Shoftim. Go ahead. I can explain Bakol Shoftim. You see, either we're focusing on the act of Shechita, meaning who can do the Shechita, with what you can do the Shechita, and so on, or we are referring to the object of the Shechita. We're certainly not going to refer partially to the object and partially to the act. Now you throw together two things and pretend you're saying Akol, Bakol, I mean, that's ridiculous. So go ahead, my Mishanita, like, how are you going to explain that? Now, if you're going to try to tell me the obvious answer, Bein Betzur, Bein Beskuchi, Bein Mikrumi Chakana, which is what we were talking about before we got onto this whole mess, which is a Braita, but then you're not talking about the object, then you're talking about the act. So do me the Hanach Katani, I Hanach Beshochatim. You can't have a list of three issues, and two of them should be referred to the object of the Shechita, but one of them should be referred to the instrument of the Shechita. That doesn't make any sense. El Amar Rav, therefore, says Rava, I throw out your entire approach. I don't like the business about the Rabbi Akiva, it's coming to be Marva in the Nishchatim. I don't like the business about everything, even Oath, being it, that's the Nishchatin. I say, it's all about the Shoftim. Hakol Shochatim, of course, this may have something to do with the fact that I, Rava, happen to have two completely different issues, which you always pointed out, and I now think stand strongly in my favor, because I did support Abayan in his contention that we could read the first Mishnah referring to Kuti, and everybody was asking, but Rava, you yourself hold Mummer. Now you know, there's two Mishnayas. They both say Hakol Shoftim. One's a Kuti and one's a Mummer. Let me see one of you guys match that, okay? So Chodalatuye Kuti, Chodalatuye Yisrael Mummer. The answer was staring you in the face. The Olam Shochatim. Okay, I say that includes the Braita, what we had in the Mishnah, which the Mishnah said, well, Ashochet Balayla Kosher. Did you ever say in a Mishnah, L'chatchila Teshek Balayla, as long as you have a flashlight? Aha! That's the Leolam Shochatim. Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, Bein Rosh Hagag, Bein Rosh Hasina, all of those things that we learned in the Braita, that there's a Chiddush, I would have thought that in these circumstances you can't do Shechita. Maybe people will say, you're shechting to the god of the sea or whatever. None of that's a problem. And Bakol Shoftim now is a third reference to the Shoftim, not the object of the Shechita. And the Shoftim, it's referring to Tzur, Tzuchit, Krumit Shokana. And now everything works out perfectly well. I believe I've tied together the opening Mishnah with this Mishnah, and we can finally all rest easy in a clear-cut, integrated solution to the opening of this Masechta. Now, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah introduced the very important and extremely practical sugya of Pegimot, the Sakin. The information that we had in the Mishnah, we had three examples of types of Pegimot. We talked about a Megira, which is a saw. We all know what a saw looks like. We talked about a Mago Kotzer, and we talked about a Magal Yad. So The Magal Katzir, we're going to see later on, is a rather unique kind of kli, because it is designed to grab the wheat in one direction and to rip at it, which means that it's constructed in such a way that it's bent over so that when a piece of wheat gets caught, as you're pulling in that direction, there's no way out. It can only be ripped. It doesn't have a saw-like shape, where either you have a sharp piece going up and down, or what we call serrated edges, which is not really sharp, it's just a lot of little holes, a lot of little square holes in the pigimas. So this is a unique shape. We're going to see that that shape has also unique halachas later on, because it only causes damage in one direction. But let's consider what our problem is. If we've got, let's imagine, a square hole in a serrated knife, right? So we have 100 little squares that are indented into the, or a saw, obviously, which is the same thing, except it's sharp on top, but it does exactly the same kind of damage. There's two issues that's going to happen. One is that if you imagine a soft tissue falling into that hole, let's look at that, magnify it, one hole. Tissue, whatever direction the knife is going in, if it's a square hole, obviously it would make no difference. So now as the piece of flesh is falling over into the hole, it's going to get ripped along that side, right, that sharp edge. As the knife continues to move, it's going to get caught in the direction that the knife is being pulled, and it will be ripped again as it comes out of the hole. If we do this in slow motion, enlarged. So there's going to be two effects with each one of those holes. The first, where it's falling, the second, where it's ripping and being pulled out. But it's certainly not going to just slide out. It's going to be hurt as it's pulled out. So imagine if you slide your finger over this, then if we make it a very big one, your finger is going to get pricked as it goes down into the hole, and then when it reaches the end, it's going to get hit again by the other side. So if we expand this into an inch-long hole, and you put your finger over it, you're going to feel it twice, on the way down and on the way up, right? Now suppose one of the sides is smooth. So then as you fall down, you're not going to hurt, because it was smoothed down. As you hit the other edge, that's the first time that you'll get hurt, right? And this is very common. You have the type of cutting device which only is meant to hit as it's cutting you, as it's getting to you. It's not meant to cause any damage on the way down. So it's more of a ripping effect. If you take a look at your picture, I guess I have to put this up online. So here you've got, this one is a bit better, actually. This one is a little bit confusing because they're on the other side of it. So what you have over here is, I'll turn it to you, Yeli, too. What you have over here is one side, obviously, this is grossly exaggerated, but it serves the purpose of illustration. As you're getting closer towards the notch, you don't even notice this one that you're falling into a hole that you're then going to get hurt by.
Smooth edged
on one side and only one place where you can get hurt. Now that place where you get hurt, you'd get hurt in either direction, but you'd only get hurt once, not twice. Okay? And that's called Misuch Sefet. Misuch Sefet means that it's been now rubbed down so that it's basically a smooth edge on one side, rough edge on the other side. So let's take a look now. We're going to see that there's a third option, which is the Magal Katzir. And that, as I told you, is smoothed over in such a way that it will grab on the one hand. That's the way that it cuts. It doesn't have anything at all that is going to cut if you don't go in the direction of the grab. So it'll be smooth on top, and it'll be smooth as it falls. The place where it does the damage is where you fall into the space between the smooth thing that's bent over. Okay, but that, of course, is not going to work very well on anything but grain. That's what it's for. So it's to grab a thin piece of wheat and be able to pull at it. So you can cut through 100 of those at once. But they'll get caught in the hole and then it'll cut. That's how it works. So that will have other dinim lagabe shchita, obviously. Okay, so Avua de Shmuel, in order to get the halacha straight, he was living in Chutz Laaretz, so he made, every time he had a question, that came up with an issue, he would actually create a pagam, artificially, in a knife with that particular shape, and would send it to Eretz Yisrael asking for a psak halacha, figuring that after he gets 100 of these, he'll really have it down pat. Anyway, they got rather sick of all of these shaylas. Sholchule, so they sent it back, look, there's a simple rule you can learn yourself. The Mishnah uses a saw as an indication of a model, right? Why do you think that it said Megera in the Mishnah? Because the Megera will have two damaging edges. That's the point. One on the way down, one on the way up. I don't care if it's sharp, I don't care if it's flat. It's always going to cause two different problems, one up and one down. That is the klal. Tanur Rabbanan, a sakin, sheyesh ba pigimot harbe, if it has a lot of pigimot, we don't care how those pigimot are shaped. Even if they are shaped that they only will cut in one direction, the other side is smooth, for all intents and purposes, you might as well see that as a saw. Why is that? As we're going to see, it's because the knife itself, the first time, is going to tear, and it goes up. You're right, it'll only tear once. But if it has another pagima in it, that pagima, when it tears the second time, may already be at the simen. And at the simen, it's going to cause now tearing instead of cutting. And therefore, it's going to make a treif by the time it reaches the second pagima. So normally a sakin that would be ogeret, the single pagima has two sides, and therefore the first one going down will cut through the skin, the second one going up, we already have to be chayish, is going to cut through the simen, rip at the simen. But a sakin that has pagimas that are single-edged, because they're misuchsach, that would require two in order to be certain that you're going to rip at it. And therefore, if it has pigimot harbe, so then for all intents and purposes, it's a saw, because I don't care about the other edge. I've got two of these edges. But suppose it only has a single pigima. So in other words, obviously what happened over here is that it was damaged. You banged it on something. So now it's got a place where it grasps your fingernail as you're going down.
It's got a nick, but not
it's got a nick, exactly. One nick. So then it depends. If that nick is ogeret, meaning that it catches you in both directions, then it's possible, because it's going to rip once on the way down and once on the way out. Again, in our exaggerated image, it's an inch-long square indentation, let's say. So understand, it's going to hit twice. If it's misuchsechet, and one edge is completely smooth until it hits the other edge, then it would be kosher, because it doesn't have more than one rip in it, and that rip hasn't gotten yet to the simen. It is basically still cutting the skin. Now, can you explain what you mean, by the way, with those words? Hekadama ogeret. Remember, the word ogeret is the word that we use in modern Hebrew for a water reservoir. So that means a storage. Storage means that it has basically a pit in it. And the pit is from both sides. You never make a pit with only one end, obviously. So it therefore, by definition, means it has two edges. Hekidami ogeret, hekidami misuchsechet. Amar Rabbi Elazar, ogeret means it has two cutting pieces in it. It's mishtei ruchot. Misuch sechet is miruach achat. Okay, but I don't understand the logic in this at all. You're telling me that if I'm cutting and I have two cutting pieces, ripping pieces, so then the first one will rip, and then the second one will rip the simen. And when you're cutting in a knife, you're telling me the sharp part of the knife doesn't do anything. That we can ignore. You never cut through anything with the sharp part of the knife. How do you ever do kosher shechita then? Why don't you cut normally at the flesh up until the point that you hit this single-edged misuch sechet and then rip the simen? I don't know. How do you ignore the knife? This makes no sense at all.
Really? So yeah? Is it a given that...
So I don't understand, Hestigbar. Look, I understand what you're trying to say. You're trying to say that if you have two ripping parts, so then what happens is the Mursha Kama, the first rip, is Machlish. It tears open now the skin. The Mursha Batra, the second one, is Baza. It rips at the simen, right? But why isn't that true if only has Ruach Achad? I mean, you've got the Chur for the Sakina. You can't ignore the fact that we're dealing with a sharp knife. The sharp knife cuts through the skin, nu, and now the single ripping edge, the Mursha, so that sharp piece is Boza. By that point, you're at the simen. Why isn't that going to rip the simen? You're 100% right. The only time we remater a single pegima that is Misuch Sechet is if it's right at the top of the knife. So if it's Koyma Resha Sakina, there's no way that you got in enough of a cut yet to cut through the skin. And therefore, you don't have to worry about that single rip. Wait a minute. When you do a shechita, don't you move the knife back and forth? So if you're moving the knife back and forth, so the first time you rip the skin and then back, when it falls over it, remember, it ruins in both directions. That was the problem of the Ogeret, is that it ruins as it's falling over the sharp edge, and it's ripped also as it's being pulled up over the sharp edge. Either way, so if I move this socket in one direction, I hit the sharp edge. You're saying, well, but that's not a problem, that's only the skin. Fine, it's only the skin. Now I'm on my way back with my knife. What is it now? Now it's the simen. I mean, now I've had the first, plus I've had the additional sharpness of the knife, now I'm continuing to cut. I'm obviously cutting through the simani, so I've ripped the simani the second time. So I don't understand how it makes any difference. Whether it's Ogeret or Misuch Sechet, should be the same thing. So, look, the bottom line is, Ki Ozla, when it's moving in one direction, it's Machlisha. Ki Ata, and then when it's coming back, it's Baza. Nu? Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, too. We're not talking about a case where you move the knife back and forth. We're talking about, don't show, Lichvaloevi. You have a long knife, it only went in one direction. The only place where it could have damaged was right up at the top, and there it wasn't yet cutting through anything but flesh. So you ripped at the flesh, no big deal. By the time you hit the simen, you had a perfectly beautiful, smooth knife. Obviously, we don't want you to do this with chatchila, because we're always worried you may go back and forth. But lomaisa, if you did it, then it would be kosher. Omar Rava, what this means is that there's shalosh midot besakin, lemaisa. If you have a sakin ogeret, then there's no way you can use it. So not only lechatchila, lo yishchot, but even im shachat, shechitato would be psula, because you definitely tore at the simen. If it's misuch sechet, okay, then again, we just explained, lo yishchot balechatchila, we don't want you using that, even when it's all the way up at the tip of the knife, even when you're only going to go in one direction, because we're worried, maybe you'll go in two directions. Maybe you'll be moderate in a case where it isn't all the way up at the tip of the knife. We don't want those kind of sakinim in our shalach places, all right? If you did it anyway, vim shachat, and you know you didn't go in both directions, you were bolach veloivi, fine, ben shkitato kshira. How about if you have a knife that is olev yoreid? It's not all on one level. It goes up and down with hills and rolling valleys. Fine, so then it doesn't have any edge. That's perfectly kosher. Even the chatchila, nobody said a shechita knife has to be straight across. We only said it can't have anything that would catch. If it doesn't have anything that catches, it doesn't matter if it's going up and down like some of these challah knives that pretend to be serrated and never cut. Those are fine. So, olav yoreid b'sakin, In other words, it would be as if you were misachsech both edges. If you're misachsech both edges, it doesn't have anywhere to rip at. And there shokhet balakatila. Omali Ravuna Berelim Lechem Ravashi. You quoted Rava as saying a misuchsechet knife is psula, but the Braita said misuchsechet is kshera. As a matter of fact, Rava himself said misuchsechet is kshera, which is the other Girsa. And of course, we know the answer, lo kasha. Kan sholich ve'evi, kan sholich ve'lo evi. So if you move the knife in two directions, even if you only had one mursha, that mursha will tear either going down or coming up. And therefore, it's the equivalent of ogeret, as we said. But if you only moved in one direction, and there's only one mursha, then how in the world would you have caused damage, assuming, of course, that it's barosha of the sakin? Omli Ravacha, Breda Ravavi, Ravashi. How about if it's damyala sasa? How about if it's not sharp? How about if it's rough? A rough-edged knife, but doesn't have any notches. Does it have to be sharp? Oh, my leg. I'll be happy to take a steak and try it for you. Man, yoiv la mi biser v'achlin, and I can always tell if it's kosher after I eat it. Meaning it's perfectly all right. Nowhere does it say it has to be sharp. The important thing is it cuts and doesn't rip. That's the point. If it takes you a long time to cut and it's hard to cut, it's another problem. So even if it's a rough edge, but you run your finger over it, it's not going to get caught, ever. It just won't feel like it's gliding happily along. That's okay.
The dull edge.
Yeah, dull.
It's no nicks.
No nicks. I mean, obviously, there's look, the point over here is there's always microscopic nicks, by definition. So the question is, if you've got a lot of microscopic nicks, and you don't have a sharp edge, it feels rough. That's the point. It's the same thing. It's just if it's a wider blade, then you feel the roughness. But the test is the rip test. We're going to talk about how we get to that test. But obviously, if you're dealing with microscopic imperfections, those imperfections are only going to enter the macrocosm, so to speak, of shchita, where they're going to affect the material that you're doing the shchita with, and that is protoplasm. I mean, what size of a nick is going to have any impact on flesh? That's the question. Now, there's different types of flesh. There's the harder cartilaginous flesh of the windpipe. You know, there's the softer esophagus, and therefore we're going to see. We test for both types of material, which is why we use our fingernail, which is more like cartilage, and we use, well, some use their tongue, but it's not advised to do this at home. And you use your finger. Yeah. In practical halacha?
No,
he's saying there's no problem. Because we're going to talk about later on what happened. The Gemara ends up saying, afilu heilach vehevi kol hayom kulo. It could take you all day to shack. Now, that's not called dris. It's just a very slow process. Again, don't try this on friends. How do you know you have to check your knife? Right. Shaul says, take this, meaning he checked it, and use it to check, but then you can eat. Over there, what happened was everybody was being ochel al adam, machlokas. What exactly that means? They didn't check their knives properly. We'll see. But you see that he said, I'm going to check the knives and give it. Well, I don't understand what you're asking me. I mean, obviously, if a sakin causes tarfut, even if it has a very common and easy to occur notch in it, well, obviously you would need to make sure that it's a good knife, wouldn't you? Pshita. I mean, given the chinark of trefa, are you telling me that if you would rip at it, you'd be causing it? Well, of course it needs a bedika. No, I wasn't. Obviously, you need to know you have a good knife. When I say minayin lebedikat sakin, I mean, you know, what they call bedikat sakin, meaning that the rabbi comes and looks it over. That's, I'm talking about bedikat chacham, Kamrina. But didn't we just say before you don't need bedikat chacham? Minatera, that it was only a covet? Von Reb Yochanan lo amru laharot sakin lachacham, ela bipnei kvodo shel chacham. Yeah, okay, don't shout. Mirabanan, the posik is an esmachta, but I mean, like, where do we see that such a thing was done? Now, how do you do this checking? So in Eretz Yisrael, they used to use the sunlight as the way to check. Batkele b'shimsha. Why? Because if you have a very sharp edge, then the notch goes straight through. In which case, there's two things you could do. You could hold this up to the sun, so you get right at the tip of the sun. We do this in eclipses where you can actually see the sunlight breaking through between different mountainous territories or craters on the moon. You could actually see the difference because you have these little tiny bits that will show through for a second. Same thing is true of the night. Take the night, hold it up all the way at the edge of the sun. If move it across, if there's a notch, you'll get a flash at the point where the notch. That's one way. Or you could use the sun as magnification. This is the way they tell you to look at the eclipse. Look at the wall, hold the sacking up against the sun, and wherever the sunlight breaks through, you'll see it exposed in the picture of the night in the shadow. So that's the way they used to be baited. That's in Eretz Yisrael. In Naharda, they used water, which also, there's two ways to do that. You take the knife on a perfectly smooth surface of water, and you pull the knife across the water, the very, very tip. If there is any kind of notch in it, then you will see a line where the notch is as you pull it across the water. And it'll be magnified. It'll be easy to tell. The other way to do it is to hold it at a diagonal, take a drop of water, and let the water roll down the tip of the knife. If there's anything at all that the water gets hot on, then it'll stop rolling. And then you can see that there's a little bit of an imperfection in the knife that shows up in the smooth roll of the water. Rav Sheshes, he used the tip of his tongue. Rav Sheshes, Bodek Leberesh Lishne. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Bodek Lebechut HaSa'ara. He used a hair, so that if there'd be a hair breadth of a notch, it would catch. Besura Amri and Sura, they said, look, basically what's the knife for? You look at the material, it's going to be eating, meaning cutting flesh, right? Bisra Akla. So therefore, Bisra Liptika. Use the skin of your finger to check it. That's what it's going to have to cut. If your skin's going to get caught in it, then you know the skin of the animal's going to get caught in it. That means that the simen is going to get caught in it. Omer of Papa. The truth is that Sricha Bedika Abisra Vatufra, you need to use both the skin and the nail to make certain that you have both effects as you check the sacking. And you would need a tlata ruchata. You'd have to check it on all three sides. You need to check the actual cutting edge of the knife. Then you need to worry, what if there's something sticking out of the knife on the side, which as I go in is going to rip if it touches the edge. How about that? Omale Ravila Ravashi. Omalan Rav Sama Bredra Misharsha Mishimcha. We were told in your name by Rav Sama Bredra Misharsha that you said in Rava's name that you need Tzricha Vedika Abisra Vatufra Vatlata Ruchata, which would mean that you need 12 separate movements. And there's a remez to that in the Pasuk that we just had. What did Shaul say? V'shachatatem Bezeh. Bezeh means B12. That's the gematria. So you need to always have 12 Vedikas because you're going to do each one of these on Basar, each one of these on your fingernail, and you have to do going in two directions on each. That means 4 Vedikas on each edge times 3 edge. Taco Bell was never so upset. And that gives us a total of 12. And that is what you need to do halacha lemaisa. The cutting edge, and then to the side of the cutting edge on both sides. Because if that knife is bent over a little bit, then there may be something sticking out that will rip. Yeah. So that, is that true? We want to know. Omarle, no. It's not completely true. It's partially true. I did say you have to check it on the flesh and on the nail, which means that you would need to do it up and down 2 times. That means 4. But I never said atlata ruchata. I never said on 3 sides. Or some say, I said everything you said, but I never said the name of Rava. Where do we get that from? So, Ikidamri, Abisra, Vatufra, Vatlata, Ruchata. Yeah, I did say that. But Mishmeda Rava, I didn't say long. Ravina and Ravacha Breda Rava. Havayatve Kamed Ravashi. They were sitting in front of Ravashi, and someone brought a sakin to Ravashi for Bedika. So, Ravashi handed the sakin to Ravacha Breda Rava to see what kind of job he would do. And he was Bedikit, Botka, Atufra, Vabisra. He said to him, you take it. Bitka, go ahead, check this knife. Botka atufra vabisra vatlata ruchata, which means that he did the full 12 bedikas. Omalei, excellent, good job, yasher. V'chein omer v'kana, and and you need to do 12. Rav Yemar says, no, you don't. Atuv Rav Yisra, yes, you do need, because there's different types of things that it's going to be cutting, and we need to check for a notch on both. But you do not need three sides, and I'll explain to you 100% why you don't need three sides. Remember we had the sugya before of a white hot knife, and we said that you can use a white hot knife because the impact of the edge, the sharpness, is going to come first before it has a chance to burn. And I asked you there, that's all very nice, but what happens as you continue to penetrate and the edges of the siman are up against the knife and they're going to be burned? And you said it's no problem because the Beis HaShlita is mirvach ruvach, and it spreads the moment that you cut it. Well, if it spreads the moment that you cut it for heat, it should spread the moment that you cut it for notches. So if you're not worried about the heat, why are you worried about notches? Therefore, you don't need to do the Tlata Ruchata. You only need to do one Ruach, namely the cutting edge itself. Let's see that inside. Milo Amar Rabbi Zera Mar Shmuel, didn't we say before? Libein Sakin V'Shachatpa Shchitatok Sheira. Why? Shechiduda Kodem Lelivuna. So Hachinami, if you're going to tell me, if Akasha, we asked over there, and what about Haikat Stani? And you answered Beit Hashchita Mirvach Ravach, and it spreads. So Hachinami, Beit Hashchita Mirvach Ravach, it should be exactly the same thing in our case, and you needn't concern yourself with the edges. Halacha l'maisa, we do, in fact, all three sides. Hakol shochatin uliolam shochatin. What does that mean? Hakol shochatin is a kol b'shchita filu of. Loolam shochatin. Mantanom rabbi Rabbi Shmuley the Tanya. Ki archiv Hashem lokechet gvulcha kasher diber lagva amarta achlo basar. Rabbi Shmuley omer lo ba katuv ela la'atir lahem basar ta'ava. Shebitchila neser lahem basar ta'ava. Mi shenichnasu la'aretz utar lahem basar ta'ava. We might have thought that achshav shegalu Yokol yachzeru liyisaron yisuran harishon. Therefore comes on the Mishnah to say, no, lo'olam shochatim. Ma'at kifla Rav Yosef said, then it has nothing to do with lo'olam shochatim. The point is that you can eat what you shechted. So it should say lo'olam shochatim v'ochlim miboile. Not to mention, that doesn't even make any sense. V'yod, mikara ma'itay me'itzer, mishum da'avi me'karve la'mishkan. And in the end, ma'itay me'ishtru, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's hard without rapid transit to get to the Mishkan. So your marcha came in Mishkan. So kol shekein ashta, the archikol utvei, why would I think now it should go back the way it was? It should be even more mutter. El armor of Yosef, it's Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Ki irchak mimcha makom mashivcha shem lokecha losum shmo sham vizavachta mi bekorcha o mitzonecha. Rabbi Akiva omer, lo ba hakatuv, Ela le'esor lehem basar nechira. That's the point. Not the b'chol avat nafshecha. So it's le'esor lehem basar nechira. B'tchila hutar lehem basar nechira. Mi she'nichlusu la'aretz ne'esar lehem basar nechira. Achshav shegalu, you might think in the other direction. Now it'll be mutter. Yachzru le'teran harishon. L'kach sh'neinu li'olam shochatin even now in chutz la'aretz. V'mayka miflegen. Rabbi Akiva Savar Basar Ta'ava Loitzar Klal. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Basar Nechira Loishterei Klal. So Bishlam El Rabbi Shmuel, Hainer Tzchi V'Shachat Ben Abakar. El Rabbi Akiva, why V'Shachat? What do you mean, why V'Shachat? That's not about Kachim. There was always a din of Shechita B'Kachim. So Kachim Shiny. Bishlam El Rabbi Shmuel, Hainer Tzchi V'Atzon Abakar Yishachet Lehem. El Rabbi Akiva, my Atzon Abakar Yishachet Lehem. I mean, why mention Shechita? Yinacher Lehem. What that? That is shchita, nechira shalem, zu shchitatam. Bishlam and Rabbi Shmuel, hanaditran, hashochet, v'nitnabla biyado. Or, this is the important one, hanocher, v'yamaker patur min chasot. But I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva, there was original achiev of kisui hadam on basar nechira. So am I patur min chasot? What do you mean? Because now, holy, it's meaningless nechira. Bishlam and Rabbi Akiva, the amar basar tava lo itzar klal. Hainu dechtiv ach kasher yachelat atzvivat ha'ayol ken tochlenu. Elul Rabbi Shmuel, the tzviv ha'ayol gufi was never mutter. No, that's the point. Ki oz rachmona, behimat chazil ha'akrava v'chaya, the lo chazil ha'akrava was never usher, even for basar ta'ava. Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, evrei basar nechira, shechnisu Yisrael imehem la'aretz ma'o. When? Even the b'sheva shekavshu, I mean, we're even allowed to davar tama yishtelo dechtiv uvatim meleim kol tuv v'omer b'yomer barav amarav. That refers to katve de chazire. So you're asking me about a relatively benign basar nechira? El liachar mikan. Or what's the connection? Yibaytema liolam b'sheva shekavshu. And the only thing that was mutter was shalal shalav deko chavim. Where do we ever see didu? Didu lo yishtelo. Take. Omar Rabba, look, Shanita Ko Shochatim la Olam Shochatim. I challenge you to answer Ba Ko Shochatim. My Mishanetale. And I know what you're gonna do. You're gonna tell me Vichi Tema. Well, I mean that's coming to tell me Ben Batur Ben Mishochi Ben Mikrubishokana. No. Because it has to be consistent. Adumi da anach katani. I anach bishochatin. So then haninami bishochatin. But if, as you claim, anach benishchatin, so how do you explain the third one? So then, Hainami Benishchatim. Therefore, I say the whole thing is talking about Shochatim. Hakol Shochatim Chodalatu Yekute VeChodalatu Yisro Muma Leolam Shochatim. That's Bein Bayom Bein Balayla Bein Rosh Hagag Bein Rosh Asvina Bako Shochatim. That's Bein Betzur Bein Mizruchit Bein Bekrumi Shokana Chutz Mimagal Katsir VaHamegira Avudish Mupaga Vashara Paga Vashara. Shokolei, what's all the kwashayos of you? It's very simple. Kimigera shanina. Turn around. Sakin shiyeshpa pekimot harbei, tidon ke migera. She'in bo ela pekima achat, then it depends. If it's ogeret, it's psula. If it's misuch sechet, it's kshera. Hechidami ogeret, hechidami misuch sechet. Omar Rabbi Elazar ogeret mishtei ruchot, misuch sechet, miruach achat. Maishla mishtei ruchot, demur shakama machlish, Umursha batra baza miruach achad nami churpa de sakina machlish mursha baza the kaimarish de sakina so ki azla machlisha ki ata baza ki gon shalach falavayi of course. Omar Rava shalosh midot besakin ogeret lo yishkot v'mshachat shkitat opsula mezuchsechet lo yishkot palachatchila because we're afraid you'll be beilach and be mevi but im shachat and you weren't shkitat opshira. Olevi ored besakin neishagah belachatchila. Amalei Rav Nemerayel Rechemiel Rav Ashi Amrat lo mishmei de Rava mesuchsechet psula v'atani mesuchsechet shira lo kasha kan shalich levi kan shalich v'loivi. Amalei Rav Achabered Rav Avi Rav Ashi. How about if it's dami lasas amai? Amalei, well, you could try making me a salami sandwich of it. Man yavam ibisrei v'achlina. Omer of Chista minayin labdikat sakin minat Torah shenamar v'shachatatem b'zeh v'yachaltem. Well, isn't it rather obvious? If kivan d'chi nakav treifa boy b'dika. No, I mean minayin labdikat sakin l'chakam kamrina. How do you say that you need it? You don't. Omer of Yochan lo omer l'arot sakin l'chakam. Elo v'dik v'dor shachakam min rabbonan. Kras makta b'yamu. B'ma'arova batkele b'shimsha. Benarda batkalei b'maya, Rav Sheshet batkala b'reish lishne, Rav Acha b'yako batkala b'chuta sara, b'sura amre lot, b'sra achla, b'sra livdeka, amre papa tzricha b'dika b'sra, v'atufa v'atlata ruchata, amre levin la Rav Ashi, amre la Rav Sama b'reder m'sharsha, mishimcha, di amarta le mishmei de rova, tzricha b'dika b'sra atufa v'atlata ruchata. Amar lei, well, it's partially right, Abisra tufra amre, atlat ruchata lo amre. Or, ikini amre, I did say bisra tufra atlat ruchata, but I never quoted Rava on that. Ravina ravachabir to Rava, avayatve kabid ravashi, aiter sakin kamid ravashi lubatka. So he tells ravachabir to Rava, you butka. Butka tufra abisra atlat ruchata. Amre, excellent. Yasher. Vachin amre of Kahana. Raviyemar amar, what do we need to Atlata ruchata for atufra v'abisra tzrichin atlata ruchata lo tzricha milo amar Rabbi Zera amar Shmuel libein sakin v'shachat pashkutatok shira shechidudah kodem lelivuna and it bothered us over there. What about studim? And we explained beit hashkita mirvach ravach. So why here not? Ochanami beit hashkita mirvach ravach.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle. Today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it. or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Okay, we're up to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. That's the two dots. But my commitment, yesterday we said that we started with the approach that the Mishnah that's adding the Olam Shohatim. First we said that's a reference to Rabbi Shmuel's Pshat. That we might have thought that Basar Taifa became Asar once again at the time of the Korban. And therefore, the Mishnah needed to be matir that we could eat if we shecht it. Otherwise, I would have said, if you can't bring a korban, you can't eat meat. Okay, that we rejected, because the chora week is the opposite. We should say that at the time of the korban, there's even more of a heter for bosa taiva. Since the only reason to ask for bosa taiva in the first place was because of the fact that we had the opportunity to bring in a base of English. We don't have an opportunity to bring in a base of English, say nachinam. It could be even more mutter. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef Tainan, Tosis points out, by the way, that that's a rather odd problem to have, at least for Rabbi Yishmael. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, he holds Kedusha Rishon on the Loki Shalotit Lavo, in which case there's even a Gabe, no, but this was Tosis sheet we have back in the office. Not everybody agrees with this, but according to Tosis, if lo kishalati lavo, then there's a heter habemais even after Yerushalayim. In which case, after the korban, it becomes easier to bring korbanis. Not more difficult to bring korbanis, and therefore I would have thought that Basar Taifa was also. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, it actually would add up if we're all doing the shitasa. But in any event, Rabbi Yosef taineh that the way to understand the Mishnah's din of liyolam shechatin is indeed a question of when Shechita applies, but it's not coming now to tell me a heter, it's rather coming to tell me an answer. That the Olam Shechatim, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the Midbar, it was mutter to eat Bosar Mechira. You didn't have to do an act of Shechita. After Knisa Leoretz, so the din was that Eretz Yisrael, you had to shecht. You might think maybe now that you're thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, you no longer have to shecht. So Mashmalan, this way, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's going, Rukuna Liolam Shochatim. At all times in history, you have to do Shechita once you come into Eretz Yisrael. So today, the Gemara wants to go a little bit further into the Machlokas Dufa of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara, by commitment. Rabbi Akiva Savar Basarta Ava Lo Itzarka. Rabbi Akiva holds there never was a time in which the Torah asered Bosar Taiva. As far as El Petach or Noe Lohevio, which according to Rashi, remember Tosis didn't agree with that. According to Rashi, the basis of the Isser of Bosar Taiva was the Dam Shafacha Yishahu. So then what Rabbi Akiva is saying is what Tosis is standing on Rashi. That Bosk is only referring to Kachim, basically. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there never was an Isser of Basar Taiva. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, Basar Nechira Lo Ishtri Kal, there never was a time in which there was a heter of Basar Nechira, even in a Midbar. Now we're going to go through Psukim indicating one way or the other. So Bishlam of Rabbi Yishmael, if you hold like Rabbi Yishmael who says that there never was a Zman of Heter Nechira, so that makes sense that in the Midbar you open up basically, Sefer Vayikra in the Aramaic, and it says, B'shachatet ben Habaka. According to Rabbi Akiva, they should not, what do you mean, B'shachatet ben Habaka? Why is there a din of Shechita? It's still in the Midbar. Rabbi Akiva, my B'shachat. No. Rabbi Akiva is only talking about Kulin, not Kachim. Kachim Shaine, it was Rabbi Akiva said there was a heter of Mechira. He also was being Mechalic between Basar Taiva and between Basar Kachim. Basar Kachim, of course, always required the act of Shechita. Okay, well, what about this? I mean, according to Rabbi Shmuel, I did it seem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they're complaining, they don't have what to eat, so he says, Hatzonu Vakar Yishachet Lehem. Rabbi Akiva, what do you mean, Hatzonu Vakar Yishachet Lehem? Why do they need Shechita? It should just say, Hatzonu Vakar Yinachar Lehem. And what's the no Indian of Shechita? Just like it says over there, Digye Hayam Yehaseif Lehem. And by the way, that pasuk, that's time we're bringing that pasuk. That pasuk is the raya that you don't require shechita for dogs.
Now, Avraham is the same thing when he cut the bakar, no? Doesn't talk about shkita either.
What?
Mm-hmm. No, there's no. I mean, is there with Avraham Avinu when he takes the bakar? There's no shkita there.
Which bakar you mean? For the malachim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No. But anyway, getting back to the subject. So from here we learn out, it says it's called the Gehayam Yeyasef Lehem, that Dagim do not require Shita, they require only Asifa from the Yam. So then if that's the case, the Pasuk is being makbid on its Lashon, which it say very clearly, Hatzon Vakar Yinacher Lehem. But according to Rekiva, my Hatzon Vakar Yishachet Lehem Yinacher Lehem Yivoy Lehem. No, that's true, but that doesn't. What do you think I mean? You think your pshat is that however an animal dies, it's kosher, or you can shoot it through the head? There is a din of shechita. The din of shechita is mechira. In other words, the definitions of shechita that we have today, in which mechira is not an act of shechita, was then the definitions were broader. But shechita is still required, and you have to cut the simonim, and then the simonim have to be cut in the same way, but not in that direction with a knife that's certainly going back and forth. If you tear the simonim going up and down, Rashi learns that the word nechira, by the way, comes from nostrils. Nechirim. So nechira would mean I'm cutting lengthwise along the simon, starting in the nostrils going down, so to speak. But you're still cutting a simon. You're just killing an atom. And therefore, it uses the word shechita to refer to what was considered shechita at that time. So, nechira shalem zohi shechita tam. The bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, haino tetzan hashochet nitnabla biyado, v'hanocher v'hamaker patur milachasot. The din is somebody who shechs a chaya, and he has to cover the blood. But if a chaya is killed, stam, there's no din of covering the blood. Now there, the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam was given certainly in the Midbar. If it was given in the Midbar, then Lechora, the definitions of what consists of the type of death that requires Kisui Hadam go according to the standards of the Midbar. In which case, it should be that if you go ahead now and you're Nocher Achaya, even though you're not Matzer Batila, the Torah was Machayev in Kisui Hadam, and yet it says b'feirish that somebody who is nocher achaya or maaker achaya is not chayav in kisei adam. So Abishlam, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that makes sense, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, there never was a time in which nechira was a shvita. But according to Rabbi Akiva, amai patur, having once defined a chayav of kisei adam on anything that had nechira, where did that go away? Answers of the Gemara, hoil the itzar itzar. Once the Torah redefines the nature of that shechita, then now nocher is excluded. So if shechita is no longer includes nechira, it's also not going to be mechay of you to be mechas of the dam. Now this leads to all types of interesting questions later, because it turns out that what we're saying is, whatever is matir, the chaya is mechay in kisei adam. So then that means that we're looking at mechira in the midbar as an act of heter. Since we're redefining what that act of heter is, then by definition now, whatever is the current matzav of being matzer will be mechayev yom kisei adam, but only that will be mechayev yom kisei adam. And that leads us later to question, something having once become mutter doesn't become oser, correct? Right? If I went ahead and I was nocher an animal in the midbar, and I bring that animal in with me to Eretz Yisrael, now I'm chayav in shechita. But I don't retroactively define the new standard, obviously, so whatever was kosher should remain kosher. But there's another way of looking at it. You look at it, that the Torah asks Basar Nechira. So it's according to if the Torah is asking Basar Nechira, it wouldn't matter where the Nechira is. It's not just that it's changing the standards, but if that's the case, then it's difficult to understand how we could just say that you're no longer chayav in kisei adam just because the Torah asks basar nechira. Okay, that we'll get to. So now, Bisham and Rabbi Akiva, they're basar ta'ava lo itzar klal. According to Rabbi Akiva, there never was a problem of eating basar ta'ava. You do whatever you wanted during the midbar too. So then that would explain why, when it comes to the din of psulei hamukdash, you were poda an animal of the mum. So the Torah says, ach ke asher ye'achel et ha-tzviv et ha-ayol ken tochlem. That when you eat the meat
of kachim, eat it in the same way you would have eaten something which is not shayach to kachim, like a chai, a tzvi, or an ayal, which is not brought on the mizbeah. Hatameh v'atahor yachdav yochlen. There's no hakpada on dinim of tumah v'tayra. You say, oh, but it was once kodesh, and it still has certain dinim of kedusha. I'm not allowed to use it for avoda. I'm not allowed to use it for tzcholov, and so on and so forth. No, you can eat it like a tzvi v'ayal. But according to Yishmael, you weren't allowed to eat a tzvi v'ayal. So what does that mean? Eat it the way you would eat a tzvi v'ayal. What tzvi v'ayal? They would have looked at Moshe, what are you talking about? We don't eat a tzvi v'ayal. So tzvi v'ayal gufei mihavishari. Was it mutter to eat tzvi v'ayal? Oh, indeed, that's what Yishmael it was. The Isser of Basar Taiva was only on things that could have been Kodesh. It's not that you can only eat that which is a korban. It's that that which is roy for a korban can be eaten only as part of a hakrav of shlomi. Something that can't be a korban wasn't included in the klal in the Isser. So kiyas rakman abeim ma'adachazir la'akravah. The Torah only asked a behema, which I could bring as a korban, and therefore I have to bring as a korban. Aval chaya, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, a chaya which is not suitable for putting on a mizbeah. Lo asurach when the Torah never asked it in the first place, Basar Taiva, that it should need to be matirit in Eretz Yisrael. So now, in light of our previous discussion, boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, Evrei Basar Nechira, Sheikh Nisu Yisraeli, Mahem La'aretz Mahu, what would be the din of meat that was imported from the Midbar, in which it had been shechted according to the standards of the Midbar, which included Nefira and Shvita, you just said. And now I dried some of that meat, and here it is, years later, and I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and I have my old standard of kashrus from the Midbar. So can I continue to eat that meat? Or is it that the Torah asks now what was previously mutter? If it's just a change in the standards of Shechita, whatever defines Shechita, at that point defines Shechita, once the meat is mutter, it's mutter. But if the Torah now is changing the heter of Achila to exclude Basar Nefira, so then the Basar Nefira now becomes Asr. As a matter of fact, at one point it was mutter. Would it become a nevela? No, Chora, definitely. We'd have to agree it's not a nevela, because otherwise how could we say redefine the standards for... The most you can do, the most he's asking is, can we now ask you an achila of Basar Nechira? I don't think he could possibly be asking, shall we now retroactively ask the act of Nechira and say that at that point it wasn't matir nevela? That doesn't make sense at all. And that would be a steer to the one we said earlier. About the another theater of Kisui Hadam. So that's my question. Ask the Gemara, let's just clarify that question. When you say, is it mutter to eat that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, what do you mean? I mean, if you're talking about during the 7 years in which they were battling for Eretz Yisrael, the Sheva Shekavshu, I mean, Hashdavatama Yisrilu, they were even allowed to eat something that was also allowed to eat bacon. I mean, well, why wouldn't they be allowed to eat Basar Nechira? Because it says after all, batim mleim kol tuv. You know, I mean, we're talking about houses that are full of really good stuff. The only really good stuff is katwe the chazir. I mean, good sides of bacon sitting there. So that was what they were specifically allowed to eat during that period. So both in the fear of me, boy, I mean, what was it? I mean, you know, a nice piece of kosher meat, no mele, so it didn't have sheep. I mean, it's certainly better than a side of bacon, I would imagine. I mean, it's at least most people feel that way when they go to a tray for restaurants, you know. They'll always order kosher meat. So, what's the question? Well, so we could say that it's liachar, I'm fine, I'm talking about after the Sheva Shekavshu, or we could say, vibayte maliolam b'Sheva Shekavshu. It could be even during those first 7 years we're asking what the din would be about the Basar Nechira, because ki ishtruhu shalal shalal deko chavim. The point is, it says v'achalta et shalal oivecha. Now shalal oivecha is a specific heter which you take what you find, but the Basar Nechira that you brought in with you of your own is not included in the din, in the heter of shalal oivecha. So maybe in Akinami there's two levels here in the standards. There's the standards of your own kasher, and then there's the dinim of what is taken as spoils of war. And spoils of war are by definition kosher, whatever they are. take. Now, we don't have a clear solution as to that. Oh, my Rava. I says, Rava, there's a problem with your whole approach here. I'll tell you what it is. The Mishnah said three things. The Mishnah said that we have Akol Shochatim. You were bothered by Akol Shochatim because it couldn't mean the same thing. And then we had the Liolam Shochatim, and then we had the Bar Kol Shochatim. Your approach has been to say that the difference between our Mishnah, Hakol Shochatim, and the previous Mishnah, the first Mishnah, opening Mishnah, Hakol Shochatim, is that one was a reference to the Shochet, the first Mishnah, and the second one was a reference to the Nishchat. You said the same thing about Liolam Shochatim. You know, that earlier we had a reference to the time of the day. Now we're talking about what things are included, what periods are included in the Chiyuv of Shechita. The Nishchatim, not the Shochatim. But how are you going to explain the third one in the Mishnah? Bako Shochatim. What's that coming to explain? You see, if you tell me that Bako Shochatim, there's an answer that suggests itself, because we already know that Bako Shochatim could include the brides that we saw earlier, Bein Bitzur, Bein Bitzchuchit, Bein Mikrumit Shalkona. Well, that's the first thing that you would say. Problem is, it's not parallel. Because then Bako Shochatim would be a reference to what it is that you're using to do the act of Shechita with, but not that which is Nishchat. So then the Mishnah is divided into two pieces that talk about the Nishchatim, or the time of Nishchatim, and one that's speaking about the Shechet's knife. Well, that doesn't make sense. You're not constructing the Mishnah properly. So V'chitem ben Mitzur ben Mitzchuchit ben Mikrumit Shokana Hadum Yadan Achkatani. I mean, doesn't that be parallel? Isn't it similar to the two original clauses? I mean, he hanach b'shochatim. Look, I mean, if these are talking about the shochet, so fine, then this one could be talking about the shochet. But he hanach b'nishchatim, if the reference over here was to the nishchat, as you've claimed, so hainami b'nishchatim, how are you going to explain bako in nishchatim? Elama Rava, therefore, says Rava, actually, I have a perfect solution for you. The only problem is, you're going to have to go back now to start agreeing with me on more fundamental issues. You remember earlier in the Masechta, I was the one who said that Yisroel Mumer Shechitas Kosher. Now, I agreed at that time to the Pshat in Abaye about the Kusi. But I spoke to him on his level. And then you got to talk about a Kusi, then talk about a Yisroel Yosef and Ichlas. Don't talk about Yisroel Mumer Agatha. Now, you all thought that I was being rather innocent and kind in explaining this. I'll leave it to Abaye. The fact is, I knew all along that there were two Mishnayos that say the word Hakol Shochatim. Now, according to me, I basically have explained it to you now, haven't I? Because one is referring to the Kusi, like Abaye was saying. One was referring to Yisroel Mumer, like I was saying. As a matter of fact, Tosis earlier explains that the only problem that Gemara had with Rava, Gemara asks on Rava, if you recall, when it goes through, why doesn't everybody agree with A, and why doesn't everybody agree with B, and so on. So Tosis says over there, what's the question on Rava? Rava, after all, does hold of Kusi, as we see now in Daf Yud Zayin. It takes a little while to get there. So why is the Gemara saying, why didn't Rava say like his own child? He does. He just waited for the next mission. So Tosis explains that the Gemara's kasha was only his Kiddush of Yisrael. Mumer should have come first before Kusi. It was only a question of order. So why did he say that the first Hakol Shochatim is coming Lasiyah Mumer and the other one is coming, Kuti, and the other one is coming Lasiyah Mumer, our Mishnah? And then the Gemara answers, fine, there he was going on Libre Abaye. He himself indeed would have said Mumer, meaning he himself would have said the first Mishnah is the reference to Yisrael Mumer, and the second Mishnah we just had is a reference to Kuti. But now it works out that since you've got two Mishnayos, you're pretty much stuck with Rava's approach. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a non-parallel explanation of a Mishnah in which the Hakol Shochatim is a reference to what you're shefting rather than who is shefting, and that doesn't tie in with the Bako Shochatim, you see. So Rava bided his time, but it was well worth he who laughs last, laughs best. Okay. Therefore, says Rava, Hakol Shochatim, one comes to tell me Mumer, one comes to tell me Kuti. Liolam Shochatim, you remember the Brisa. We had a problem earlier with Asuma Sheshachat, and our Shochet Balayla, which is only B'diavad. But here it's saying, even the Chatzilo Liolam Shochatim. Yes, yes indeed. Bein bayom, bein balayla. That was a reference to having a light. There's no problem. Even the chatzila, you could check at night as long as the lights are on. The other mitzvah was a reference to when it's dark. That's why I set it together with someone who's blind. It's always dark. So therefore, bein bayom, bein balayla, bein barosh hagag, bein barosh hasfina, the brisa is what this mishnah is gufa coming to tell me. Bako shochatim indeed means, just now like I've redefined the first two, as referring to the shechatim, when you shecht, who can shecht, with what you shecht. And therefore it's a reference to bein betzur, bein bezchuchit, bein bekrumit shokana. Now, the Mishnah now goes ahead and starts talking about that very important sugya, what knives are possible for shechita. So we said, at the end, you cannot use a mago katsir in a megira, and that would say even b'diavad, right? So the first case, we were saying you can use a mago yad. We wanted you to use it l'chatchila, because, after all, one side of the mago yad has pegimot in it. The other side is smooth. So we're worried about maybe you're using the wrong side. But if you want to add it, you shecht it, it would be okay, except for a mago katsir. And the mago katsir has pegimot on both sides. And a saw. Now, Avodah Shmuel had a lot of shilas, and he wanted a psak on what exactly constitutes the pegima of a knife. So what he did is he actually would go around creating pegimot. Right? Okay, here's pegima number 1 through 3016. Then he took these knives and he was sending them. Now, this was very expensive. He would FedEx them all the time over to Shmuel, asking for a psak. And so are these kosher knives or not? So Pogam Vashada would send this over to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they would have a psak, okay, and they would give him the number. All right, number 72, that was kosher. Number 76, that's treif, and so on. And this is a good way to get your answers if you don't have the internet and a net can, you know. But it was getting pretty expensive. By the time they were up there in the thousands of knives, they decided that, you know what, maybe we should give him some personal hadrach instead of needing to do each one. Shokulei, they finally sent a message back. Look, read the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says Megira. And the reason it says Megira is because it's giving you an indication of what the issue is. The issue is oger. Oger means to store. Oger bakaitis. If it's talking about a megira, the reason we call a saw a megira is because what happens is on a saw is that you have an area between the spikes of the saw, the sharp parts of the saw, in which something is stored and held. In other words, you imagine the skin falling in to the hole, being torn as it falls in, and then as it's being pulled out, being torn against the sharp edge as it's being pulled out. And so our problem is that there's a hole on either side that grabs something and therefore needs to be pulled out of it and fall into it. It's each case when it's being pulled, there's a moment at which it goes to the other side and is then punctured rather than slipped across. You see, that's our problem. So what you have to worry about, therefore, in your knife, is you look at the knife and you see whether at the point at which the flesh would be falling into the hole, there would be something to puncture it. Now, if there's an edge like there is on a saw, then no matter which way you go, you've always, sitting at the saw, not an electric saw, the saw is going up and down, straight up and down, no matter which way you go, whether you're coming in of that hole or coming out of that hole, there's something that can puncture you because you're now stretched over an edge rather than having something slide over the simon, correct? Well, that's your claw. So that if you had, let's say, a knife in which you had a hole, now you take a rasp and you smooth down the edges. So now when the buzzer is falling in, there's no edge that's going to cut it. Or when it's being pulled out, there's no edge that's going to cut it. Now that's not ogeret. It doesn't hold anything inside because it's smooth on the edges. It just basically dips, but it doesn't contain. And that's the idea. You have to look out for that. Now we're gonna go into the details.
A machete and miniature.
A machete.
In miniature, yes, machete is usually curved.
I don't know how good of a metaphor that is. Tana Rabba. Sakin shigesh ba pekimot harbe. Now, if you've got a lot of pegimos on it, it really doesn't make a difference whether you've got one edge smooth. And very often what you do is, in a knife, you don't have let's say, take a collar knife. Most of them are not made so that you just have little box-like holes and then a piece sticking out. What you do is you smooth down one edge so that you can pull the knife back on the collar and it cuts, and you go forward, nothing, it doesn't cut anything because it's just hitting the rounded edges again and again, right? And then you pull back again. As you pull back, it tears at the collar in order to, at the serrations. There are knives that are serrated very simply, basically just with a bunch of knots, you know. You make holes and that's it. So then both edges, whether you're going forwards or backwards, it'll cut. Yeah, that's more like a saw. But a more sophisticated knife is smooth on one end and then sharp on the other, smooth on one end, sharp on the other. So it's the serrations, basically, in one direction don't bother you, and in the other direction, when you pull, that's when you get your tearing action, right? But if you've got a lot of pegimos, it doesn't matter whether it's only serrated on one end and smooth when you go on the other. Because over there, basically, since you've got a lot of different holes, the point is that it's going to be torn, even if it's only torn in one direction. Let's take a socket that has one pegima in it. And this pegima has a sharp edge on either side. Now, let us imagine I'm pulling the sock and slowly over the skin. The skin now falls into the hole. As it falls into the hole, it touches the sharp edge and is cut, torn by that sharp edge as it falls in, correct? I continue to pull. Now it's forced out of the hole. And again, it hits the next sharp edge on the other side. As it's being pulled out, it's torn. Now over there, that is called an ogeret. That's an actual hole that is sharp on either side. And therefore, if I weaken the skin on side one, I hit the simen on side two and tear it. So there it wouldn't matter. What is there? I have to draw a picture of a box for you. Here's a box. There you go. One box.
This is the knife that's smooth on one side and sharp on the other?
No, there's no knife smooth on one side and sharp on the other. That's the case of the mago. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a hole. Right here. Little box. That's a pegima in the knife. Magnified. 250,000 times. Now, as the buster falls along here, it's hit by this sharp edge and it tears. As it's pulled out of here, it hits the next sharp edge and it tears on the way up. Yeah? Okay. Now, I could also do this, which is the way a fancier knife would be, correct? On one side, slides right down like a little roller coaster. Whoopee! Little does it know what's coming. What's coming is this mountain right up ahead, in which as it's pulled out, it's ripped by the sharp edge. Okay. Now we're happy? We're putting ourselves in place of it. Okay. What can you do? Okay, so now, if you've got a knife that's full of these smoother, one edge smooth, it's going to be possible no matter what. Why? Because even though it's only got one tear on it, so okay, let's see. When I hit the first tear, I cut through the skin. Now when I hit the second tear, I cut through the simen by tearing it. So that's always going to be possible. If I've got a knife that only has one of these, so then, okay, if it's shaped like this box. Maybe a bicycle pump. Okay. Okay, if you have a knife that has one hole, which has two sharp edges, so then no matter what, it's going to puncture the simonim, because And the first one will tear at the skin, and the second one will tear at the simen. Okay, now obviously there are other issues that we need to take into consideration, such as, where is it? I mean, if I've already cut through the skin with the sharp edge of the knife, what do I need there to be two edges? I've cut through the skin here, and finally, then when I hit the only one, I'm going to be tearing the simen. And I'm being overly simplistic and saying, well, it all depends on the shape of the hole. If there's two edges, and the first edge will cut through the skin, and the next one will cut the simen.
And the second one, is it only one direction that it will catch the skin?
Yes, that's the point. Since I smoothed down on one edge, this is called a misuch seche. So it's like a lotion of the sikh sakhi. Misuch seche means that it's rough.
Can we consider by arava, maybe, also?
Yes, you were going to actually be using it. You're using it later on as a simon of that sort. Okay, so, but right now, on the simplest level, if all I've got is one pagima, then it depends how it's shaped. Now we'll get to where it is on the knife, and so on. So that's our first. So if there's pagimot harbe, it really doesn't matter how it is that they're shaped. Because then the first one will tear, and the second one will hit the simon and tear them. So then tidon kemegera doesn't matter. It's all a saw as far as I'm concerned. She'in bela pagima achat, if it only has one pagima, then it depends. If it's ogeret, so if it stores it like that little box that I draw, so then it's psula because it'll tear with the first going down and then tear again the simonim when going up. But then if it's misuch sechet kishera, hechidamia ogeret, hechidamia misuch sechet, how do we define those words? Amar Rav Eliezer, ogeret mishtei ruchot, as I drew. Ogeret basically is a container, a reservoir, a me'ager. Right? And it's a reservoir that has two sides, and therefore, Mursha Kama Machalish, the first sharp edge, weakens the skin, Vimursha Basra Baza, the second one stabs the simonim as it's going over it. Now, asks the Gemara, but then, what's the difference? If you've got now one pagima, okay, so you said, the Mursha Kama Machlish, Mursha Basra is Baza. You have the same problem if you have only one edge, because the Churpa de Sakina Machlish, you first have the sharp edge of the knife. The sharp edge of the knife also cuts, my dear friend, doesn't it? So you've cut through the skin, now you're at the simonim, and now you hit the Misuch Seches. So fine! So it only tears once. Once is enough. So what's the difference whether it's got two edges or one edge? If you're dealing with a knife, it doesn't make any sense to me. And says the Gemara, the koyim aresha the sakina. It's got to be talking about, where did I say it's kosher? If it's all the way at the top of the knife. So before the sharpness of the knife has affected the skin, I hit now the pagima. Fine, okay, so you hit the pagima. So you tore the skin, big deal. But by the time you got to the simen, you're back to pure knife edge again. Therefore, it's kosher. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. You don't move a knife only in one direction. You move a knife in two directions. So even if it only has one, it's all very nice to say the first time around you didn't tear the simen because it was in the roach of the sake. But on the way back, you certainly tear the simen.
Where did you cut start? From the handle and you have the blade. So
wherever it started, I couldn't care less. You decide which way you want to go. Okay, but the point is, if you're going to go back and forth, you're going to hit that sharp edge twice.
The simon is already cut?
But I'm still cutting.
Okay.
We'll see later on that that's...
continuous.
Yes, correct. So now, if I do that, so sofki ozla makvasha, in one direction you're going to be now cutting through the skin, ki otza, but on your way back, boza, you're going to stab it again. Well, enough yami, if you're going to show so in other words, we have a number of conditions to be makshir, a knife that had a misuch sechet on it, a pagima misuch sechet. First of all, it has to be that it's at the top of the knife. And secondly, it has to be that the knife was long enough that I could check it only one direction, which we said is kitzavo, kumole tzavo, chutzav tzavo, we've spoken about earlier, and therefore, if I only went in one direction and I wasn't molecule, maybe, then I understand that I didn't create a problem with the shvita because I never touched the simanim with a sharp edge. Okay. All right, so it says the Gemara, Omar Rava. The truth is, if you think about it, you have shalosh midas pesaki. The halacha would be, you've got three different dinim that would apply to a sakin. An ogeret, lo yishchot, v'imshachat shchitato psula. As we've just explained, there'd be no way to be matir a sakin as a pagima ogeret in it, because it's going to hit right away on both edges of teret simoni. Mesuchseket, lo yishchot, palachatskid. You should not use a sakin mesuchseket, simply because if you go back and forth, it's going to be possible. They're not going to give you a knife to use which you can't go back and forth. In which, if it's in the wrong place, then it's not going to be kosher. V'im shachat, and it meets all of the criteria, namely, was at the top of the knife. And it's great, you could do it standing up.
No problem.
No problem at all. Wait a minute. How about upside down? over there, if it meets the conditions, you weren't miracle maybe, then it would be kosher. Ola the yoreid b'sakin. Now, if you've got a knife that is going up and down, so in other words, let's say you started with a pagima, and then you smooth the two sides of the pagima. So now the knife is going in and out, up and down, happily and merrily on the roller coaster, but there's no sharp edges. That's fine. That's kosher. So, and that's also, you find sometimes knives that are meant to cut things that are not as soft to tell them as boss. But they'll do that. You have these challah knives, they don't work very well, but they basically go up and down.
You sit there. Well, maybe
well, I mean, if it's really very, yes, theoretically, there are serrated knives like that.
And there's a problem with the heat from that?
No, we'll see later on. There isn't. So that would be kosher even lechatzila. Omer Ravuna Breva and Lechem Levashi. Amet lan mishmei the Rava misuchsechet psula. I understand. You quoted Rava saying that a misuchsechet is psula. V'atani misuchsechet is ksheira. Lo kashen. Kanshol lech vehevi. Kanshol lech lo hevi. And of course, we could have also answered. The kaimi aration is sakin, the lo kaimi aration is sakin, this just points out, because we had those various criteria. How about damia lasasa knife? How about if the knife is not sharp? It's like a sasa. A sasa is that sticky feeling that you get when you run your fingers over the little hairs of the chita. Mm-hmm. It's a very cute feeling. It's sort of, it's, you can't feel anything there, and yet your finger won't run over it. It's like
rough.
It's rough, but it's not. There's nothing that catches your skin, right? And what about that? It sort of feels like sticky almost because of it. Since there's nothing sticking out, you can't call it rough, really. It's sticky, but you know that there's nothing there that's making it sticky. So it's more on a molecular level that you can sense that things are not sliding, but they're certainly not enough to catch anything and to tear it. So how about that? Oh, my life. Oh, man, tell me about it. Man yaivan bisra vachlini. Just give me some meat and I'll eat it. I am hungry. A sasa would be just fine. Omer pista. Minayin lebedikat sakin min haTorah. How do you know that you have to check the knife? Shinema, because Shaul said, "Ushachatem bezeh v'achaltem." So he said, "Bezeh." Obviously, he had checked the knife, and he's giving them a kosher knife. I don't understand. I mean, isn't it rather obvious, pshitek, even if he knocked out treifa? So, boy, bedika. If the knife has a hole, the animal's a treifa. So, why do we need a ragam that you have to check the knife? Of course, you have to check the knife. No, we mean lechochad kamrina. In other words, why was Shaul giving out kosher knives? Because he was acting as a chacham that was being burned. That's the point. I thought you said before, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo amru laharot sakin lechacham ela b'pnei kvodo shel chacham. I thought you said it was only like an institution of an honorable position for a chacham. Yeah. It's b'rabbanan, and the cross is back to the altar. Now, how do you check the knife? Now, there's various ways to check the knife. In Eretz Yisrael, they check the knife in the sun. So what they would do is they would hold up the knife against the sun, and then if you hold it up directly and you slide it gradually across your field of vision, you can easily see where there's a notch and more light hits your eyes. That's one approach. The other approach that Rashi brings is the way you would watch a sunspot. To cast it, in other words, cast a shadow from the sun. Then you've got the increased it would essentially look like it's magnifying.
I would prefer that way.
Yeah, I would think so. Dr. Ellman would certainly have told us to stick to the second one. Don't look into the sun. So that's how they did it in Eretz Yisrael. In Nahar Dah, obviously, what would you do in Nahar Dah? You would use a Nahar. So they would check the knife against the water. Now, there's two ways of doing that. You can hold the knife and slide it across the water, and then if there's any kind of edema in that place, of course, you have the mark and turbulence in the water where the water is going through that hole. It's very cute.
Got to hold it, I think.
Yeah, that's the problem. You have to hold it exactly. And the other way of understanding this, you take the sakin, drop water on it, and let the water roll down, and then if there is a pagima there, then it catches in the pagima, so you can see if there's a pagima. Rav Sheshes, Barak Labaresh Mishnei, Rav Sheshes used his tongue, and that way you can easily see whether there's something to catch your tongue. Rav Akiva Bar Yaakov used a very thin hair, and you simply cut that, and it would catch a hair. The Surah Amri, but in Surah they said, no. Bisra Ochla. Look, your problem is it going to catch the meat of the animal, the flesh? The only way to check it is against your flesh. I mean, you can't check it against something else, which would have a completely different standard. Maybe a sar is tougher, or maybe the water will pick up a smaller pegima, which is basically only really a misukseret. Please do remember, gentlemen, the three important terms that we've learned today: ogeret, misukseret, and kisasa. Okay. So, in other words, you need therefore to check it against what it is that it's going to be checked for. So therefore, use either your tongue, although that's not highly recommended, you might want to use your fingers. They're a little bit tougher than your tongue.
You've got 10 of them instead of one.
Well, there's some people who we could definitely recommend they're using their tongue.
No, it's too short for the plastic kind of thing.
Being one of those, you might want the tongue, but still, they use the palm of the hand. They use right here on the finger prominence and check right here. They will cut the very short thing. They will cut the skin right here to see that one.
Because it's nice, soft skin.
Compared. Is it a problem of cutting yourself more or less?
Yeah, you have to be careful about this. By the way, there was a minhag to fast before learning Kulin because of this. Because people would always slit their necks and say, you know, show, well, you shech this way, you shech that way. You're gonna, so in order to avoid the tichat pele satan, the whole minhag of, of course we did it by extra eating because we also the Hasidic approach. Mm-hmm. Why fast when you can eat? Omer pata tzricha b'dika bisra v'yad kufra. You have to check it both against the flesh of your hand and also against the nail of your hand, because that, which is what we do, and atras ruchasa. There was another gears in the shiltos that says atre gisi, which is the size of the sakin as well. So in other words, three sides you check the edge of the knife and then the two sides along the edge. You have been quoted as saying in Rava's name that you need bedika bisra ve'atufra v'atlasa ruchasa. Tosis suggests that the reason that we have bisra v'atufra is because you have to shech two simonim. And the ikona is actually tough. It's cartilages, which is makes it similar to the nail. So you should use keratin to check it. And then, and that way you catch both types of grabbing. Sometimes something will grab easier if it's tough. And that you said that you need basar, tufra, and three sides. To which Ravashi responded, I did say basar v'tufra. Yes, I never said on three sides. Where Ikri Amidar, others say, what he said was, yes, I did say bisra, tufra, and I said three sides. I never said it in Rava's name, though. But Mishmei the Rava lo amid. Ravina and Ravaka Bered the Rava were both sitting in front of Ravashi. Aviyatva came to Ravashi. Isis Sakim came to Ravashi Libitka. They brought a knife to Ravashi that he should check the knife. He hands it to Ravaka Bered the Rava, and he says, okay, you do it. Let me watch. Now, this is serious stuff. Right, this is the ultimate bafina. Ravaka Bered the Rava, Bitka, go ahead. You check it.
This is like Hazal Russian roulette.
Botka Atsutra. The Abisa Ratrasarukhasa. He took the knife, checked it against his flesh, against his fingernails, and did it on all three sides. And indeed, Ravashi was very impressed. Amale Yasher, good boy. Vechenamar Rav Kahana. Rav Yema says, you need Atufa Vabisra, yes. But Aplaka Ruchata Lotzrecha, why would you need to do it on three sides? I'll prove you don't need it on three sides. Because did we not say before Amar Abizera Mishmul, Libain Sakin Vishata Bashpi Pasak Shira? We said if you make a knife red hot and you cut it, it's kosher because Chiduda Kodam Libuna, because you're going to have a faster impact of the cut than you will of the burn. And we asked over there, it's all very nice for the initial impact, but what about the sides of the knife that are going to continue to burn away at the edges that you've cut? So we could stud him. And you said, don't worry about the studding, because Beis Hashchita Mirvach Revach, as you cut it, pulls apart. So I don't understand. There you're not concerned with the heat of the knife touching it. And here you are concerned with the possible pegima, tearing at the simen. What's the difference? Hakanami, Beis Hashchita Mirvach Revach. It's exactly the same situation. Omer Avuna Barav Ketino, Omer Shimon Lakish, Shalosh Pegim.
No,
but obviously we still have the chashash. We have to be able to make sure that we have something under that can be held any way you want. You know what? Maybe we'll, it's late. We'll save this already. Bulgaris.